enjoy this time of worship and to look more closely into His Word now for a while as we consider our Heavenly Father and what He provides for us in this life in the way of being our hiding place. Why do we hide things? Well, maybe we hide something because we're ashamed of it. We're embarrassed about it, and we don't want others to know about it. Sometimes we hide our actions, our words, and our thoughts because we're ashamed. Sometimes we hide things to keep them safe. Maybe it's jewelry or money or, in my house, candy. You know, hide that to keep it safe. We hide ourselves from crowds and from noises and from distractions by seeking solitude and a quiet place to go and be. We hide ourselves from danger, big storms, tornadoes and hurricanes. Some of us have those storm shelters that we put to use at times when the tornadoes are coming through. And even animals know to hide themselves from those storms. Our cat, anytime the storm comes through, it thunders, it's going to run under the bed or in a closet somewhere. And probably you have animals that do the same kinds of things. When we think of that storm and that shelter that we seek during the time of storm, normally the time when we think about it is when the storm is approaching. And probably, other than when the storm is approaching, we give that storm shelter very little thought. Oh, it may be that if you built one, you gave some thought to it when you built it and the money you had to put into it. Or maybe you have sort of scoped out in your neighborhood, if you don't have a storm shelter where you live, you sort of scoped out in your neighborhood where you might go to a storm shelter. Or at the very least, most of us in this area of the country have determined where in our house we would go when the storm comes. What's the safest place in our house? Spiritually, we need to know who our storm shelter is and where to go when the storms come and why we need Him. Over and over again, the Bible calls God our hiding place, our shelter. There are quite a number of verses that describe Him in this way. Let me just share a few with you real quickly. Psalm 17 and verse 8, "Hide me under the shadow of your wings," as a bird might shelter her chicks. Psalm 27 and verse 5, "In time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock." The psalmist here mixes a couple of metaphors, but the concept of being in the tabernacle, a spiritual refuge, a spiritual hiding place, in the very presence of God is the idea, where He is there, and He is there to protect us and help us. So he says, He sets me on a high rock where nobody can get to me, and it's just me and Him there. Psalm 31 and verse 20, "You shall hide me in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." We'll be talking about that verse a little bit later, and especially we'll be talking about this verse a little bit later, Psalm 32 and verse 7. "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." And then Psalm 91 and verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And then finally, Psalm 119 and verse 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." So in all of these passages and in others that we might look at, our Lord is presented to us, is described as our hiding place. I'd like you to turn your Bibles now to Psalm 32. I'd like to go through this psalm this morning with you and notice how God is our hiding place, and in a number of different ways, and how we need Him in various aspects of our lives to to be our hiding place, our secret shelter, our protection, and our helper. In Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5, we find that God hides my sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Please notice the contrast. I don't hide my sins. You see that at the end of that passage? I don't hide my sins. I give them to God, and God covers them. God does away with them. He blots them out. We, all of us, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are thoroughly blessed and forgiven when our sins are hidden by God. The first two verses of this psalm are quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. They apply specifically to us as Christians. Paul applies them in that way, in that context. And so, truly blessed is the person, truly blessed, is the one whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is covered. And yes, the idea there of covering is to hide away, where nobody can find and nobody can see, and they're gone. We are blessed in that way by our God. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 25, Isaiah says, speaking for God, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. So he hides them for us. There was a fella a little while ago, back in the late 1990s. His name was Juko Ahala. And he was, for 2 years, crowned the world's strongest man. His particular feat of strength, the one that he got famous for, was pretty interesting. He picked up a car, a small car, 978 pounds of a car. He picked up a car and carried it some distance. Not very far, but far enough. You say, well, that's really impressive. The weight of my sins is way more than a small car. How about yours? You see what the psalmist says to us? It was heavy. God's hand is heavy upon us when we're mired in sin. And yet God lifts up that sin and removes it from us when we confess it. The weight of sin can truly be crushing. But confession empowers and enables, I should say, encourages and pleads with God to remove that sin. The way it's expressed in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, that he who covers his sins will not prosper. Don't cover your own sins. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, he hides them that far. There was something that became popular just a few years ago, it's called geocaching. I don't know if people do that much anymore, but a few years ago when the GPSs came out and everybody was fascinated with ways to use them, you could go to online groups and what somebody would hide something somewhere in the world, somewhere maybe in the United States, and they'd give the coordinates to it on the website, and then you could use your GPS to go to those coordinates and find whatever it is that was hidden. And for a lot of adults with too much time on their hands and too much money to buy these GPS units and all of that, that was a lot of fun for a while. I was actually with a friend one time and we were visiting a site up in Minnesota, and a tourist site. And he said, wait a minute, I've got to go do something. And what he was, I didn't realize, he explained it to me. There was something in this place where we were that he needed to find on his with his GPS, because he was doing this geocaching. Think about something that is so well hidden and so far removed that it could never be found. Not by anybody. Not ever. That's what God has done with our sins. We're not going to be able to locate them with GPS, right? They're gone, and they're gone forever. God is the hiding place. He is the one who hides my sins. Do we understand how precious that is? At any time as a Christian, if I am willing to not hide my sins from God and to confess that sin to Him and forsake it, He is willing to take that sin, and He will hide it so that it will never be found again. Not in eternity, not ever. I will never have to face that sin again. He has removed it. He hides my sins. God is my hiding place in prayer. In verse 6 of Psalm 32, for this cause, that is, this removal of sin, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near to him. Jesus often prayed in solitude. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23, he sent the multitudes away and he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, the text says, he was alone there. But of course, he really wasn't alone there, was he? Because he was praying to his heavenly Father. In Luke 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days he went up to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 41, the night that he was betrayed, right before they came to arrest him, he took his disciples and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He took three of them and went a little further in, and then he himself departed from them and was withdrawn about a stone's throw, it says in Luke 22 and verse 41. And he went and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So repeatedly in the life of Jesus, we find him seeking solitude to be with God in prayer. As Christians, we're never really alone. Our Heavenly Father is but a whispered prayer away from us. But it's great to seek times and places where we can be by ourselves, where we can talk to Him in private. Jesus told us to go into a closet to pray. Really interesting, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, well-known passage, I realize, and yet one I'm not sure that we've studied very deeply. I think I learned something about it just this last week in studying it. Let me share that with you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, and the King James Version says, go into your closet. But go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You remember the Psalms that we read that talk about God being in the secret place and hiding us in the secret place. And here in Psalm 32, we go to Him in prayer in that hiding place. But Jesus is saying, go to that room, go to that closet. And the particular word that's translated either closet or room there comes from a word which literally means a storage chamber or a storeroom, a chamber, especially an inner chamber or a secret room. That's a lexicon definition of what that word means, a secret room. We have in our house, I think several of you realize this, our house has been lived in by a lot of great families. Sewell Hall and his family lived in it long ago. And when they lived in our house, they had a pretty good sized family, and Gardner didn't really have a room, so they put him in what is now my pantry. That's Gardner lived in there for the whole time they lived in that house. And it's just, I mean, it's a really small room. But I think about that, and I think about going into a small chamber, your room at night, and spending time in prayer with God. And here's what I found about those secluded places, those little rooms that you can go into, or maybe even it's a big room, whatever. But I've always found that God is there. And when I turn to talk to Him in that secret place, He's with me. The psalmist wants you to have that experience. To go into that closet and pray. Day or night. Day and night. The psalmist says in Psalm 42 and verse 8, the Lord will commend His loving kindness in the daytime, and then in the night His song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Many times, as again, some of you kind of know this about me, I have some insomnia, to say the least. And I've found that among other good things to do at night, prayer is really good to do. I was talking to my friend who's since passed away. I mentioned this, I think, some time ago as well. Johnny Richardson over in Russellville. And he'd call me. I remember back when I was going through my chemo. And he'd call me sometimes at odd hours and just to let me know he'd been praying for me. In fact, he said, he'd say things like, well, I couldn't sleep last night, and so I got up and I started praying. I prayed about you. And those are the kind of powerful things we can do in those quiet times, those alone times, those times in the closet, those times alone in our bed, whatever it might be. Because God is our hiding place, and He is in the hiding place with us. He's our hiding place in times of trouble. Psalm 32 and verse 7 now. Again, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble and shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Safe rooms. That's what those tornado shelters are all about, right? We want to go there when the trouble comes. Whether it's a burglar that's coming in, we go to the safe room. Whether it's the storm that's hitting, we go to that storm shelter. God is our spiritual safe room. He is our spiritual storm shelter. Life is filled with all kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble. We have health problems. We have personal problems. We have emotional struggles. We have things that we're dealing with in our lives, all of us, all of the time. God is our hiding place and our shelter, the place to go to in those difficult times. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, the psalmist says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. High up on a rock, as we looked at that passage earlier. God will hide us in the time of trouble. And in Psalm 64 and verse 2, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked. Hide me from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. We're living in a world, it seems to me like, where there are a lot of people who are rebellious and who are full of sin and who are coming up with plots and schemes to do bad things in this world. Some of those things might be politically connected. Some of those things are just mischief. There's a lot of evil in the world that surrounds us. They bend their bows, they shatter arrows, bitter words. They shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly, they shoot at him and they do not fear. We can't get away from, in the world in which we live, people who are using words in harmful ways. And whether we're talking about looking at a mainstream media broadcast of some news that they're only telling half the story about, or propagating falsehoods about, or whether we're talking about looking at social media, where there's all sorts of false information from every corner and arguments over it and people being hurt because of it. It's all over the world, isn't it? Where do you go to get away from that? Who's going to protect us from all of that? God is. When we trust in Him, when we trust in His Word as truth, and when we stand there in our lives on the rock of His Word, public discourse, social media in our world, it's a dangerous thing. But God is our shelter. He is our hiding place. I read a story about a mother. She was on the telephone. She was trying to talk to one of her friends. She had several kids running around the house, and they were all making a bunch of noise, carrying on. Nobody can relate to that, right? And so the woman that this lady was talking to on the phone finally says, I can't hardly hear you. It sounds like World War III is going on over there. And he says, okay, just a minute. And there was a couple minutes, and then everything went dead silent. And she comes back on the phone, and she says, okay, I can talk now. And the lady she's talking to, she says, wow, you must have amazing control over your children to get them to be that quiet. And she says, no, I'm in my closet. But I think about that with all of the noise that surrounds us in this world and all of the, you know, these words that are harming people and around us all the time and that are loud and that are disconcerting and that stress us. Where do we go from that? I'll tell you where we go. We go to God. He is our hiding place from all of that. He is our refuge from the wicked and harmful and rebellious and hateful speech that we're surrounded with all of the time in this world. Please understand what I'm saying to you. Don't let those words get to you. Don't let the words of men destroy your peace. God is your hiding place. He's your closet. Go to Him. When trouble comes from the words that sound like war, it's good to have a place to hide and someone to talk to. Psalm 61 and verse 3. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower for my enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And then, God is my hidden source of direction. Look again at Psalm 32. God seems to be speaking to us here. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. God says, I will guide you. And if you'll just be open to my guidance and willing to what I'm telling you to do, it will be as if I'm just guiding you with my eye. We've all perhaps had that sort of experience. I know parents who are good parents and who have obedient children. Sometimes, maybe in a public setting or you're in a home visiting somewhere, and as we were mentioning a minute ago, maybe the children are a little rowdy or they're doing something they're not supposed to do. Maybe they're picking up a knickknack at somebody else's house and you've told them not to touch the knickknacks, you know? Has that ever happened? But as a parent, you just give them a look, right? You know that look? And they stop. You can guide them with your eye. If you've played sports, team sports especially, a quarterback on a football team, he might just look at a receiver and the receiver knows what he's supposed to do on this play. Just give him that look. A coach, a teacher. We all know what it means when you get that look, that certain look in a certain situation, and you're supposed to either do or not do something. That's what God is saying here. Let me guide you with my eye. Just be really attentive and attuned to what I want you to do. Don't be like a horse or a mule. I haven't spent a lot of time around either horses or mules, but I understand that mules can be pretty stubborn. It'd be pretty hard to get them to do what you want them to do. I've known of people who've taken to beating their mules. I'm not sure that's a great idea, but I understand the frustration, you know, of people that can't get their mule to do what they want it to do. God says, don't be like that. Don't be like I have to put a bit and a bridle on you. Just do what I direct you to do. Here we are as Christians. The Bible says that we've been born of the Spirit. John 3 and verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. A person who is born of the Spirit, he's directed and he moves, but it's not obvious what's directing him. I believe that's what Jesus is saying there. He doesn't say that the Spirit is like the wind. He says the person who's born of the Spirit is like the wind. Do you know what powers the wind? Do you understand, you know, how it goes that way? I don't. And so it is the person who is born of the Spirit is directed by unseen forces. He's directed by the Spirit of God in his life. And those forces result to being led by the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. And the way the Spirit communicates, though, with us is not something that's better felt than told, but He communicates to us through the words of Jesus and the apostles. So I have those in my heart, I have those in my life, and here is the direction of the Spirit, unseen to all those who are around me. What's a Christian going to do in a given situation? He's going to do what God wants him to do. He's going to do what the Spirit has directed him to do through the Word. John 6 and verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, Jesus said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says that the words that they spoke as apostles were words that were taught them by the Holy Spirit. I don't know. You know, sometimes I preach lessons and I don't know how helpful they are. Much you can relate to what I'm saying, and I think I've said before, most of the time I'm preaching to me. This is one of those times. I hope this is meaningful to you. But as I've meditated over Psalm 32 for some weeks now, actually, and I've thought about God being my hiding place. And because He's my hiding place, He's my strength. And He's my rock. And thinking about all of that, I came to a New Testament verse that I honestly think, for all of the time I've been a Christian, I probably not understood. But looking at it in lieu of all that we've looked at this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And maybe now I understand just a little bit better what Paul means here. When he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. God is my hiding place. My whole life is hidden with Christ in God. I think maybe I understand more about what that means now. Your life is hidden. My life is hidden because my sins are covered in Christ. Because my private prayers are heard in Christ. Because God's invisible presence shelters me in times of trouble. He's always there with me in Christ. And because I'm guided by the invisible power of God's Word, my life is hidden with Christ in God. Is yours? Rock of Ages. Is that where we're standing? Is that where we're living? Is that where we're hidden? And back in Psalm 32, as we close out that psalm, the text says that many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright of heart. There's a reason to be happy this morning if your life is hidden in God. There's a reason to be concerned if it's not. Won't you give Him your life this morning? Let Him be your protector, your shelter, your shield, and your hiding place. Please come while we stand and while we sing.